Learning to learn. Learning is like climbing a mountain. There are no shortcuts, and you have to go step by step. And it is also like putting a computer together or wiring a home entertainment system. You can't leave something out. It is also like learning just a little bit about ice skating. You really need to carefully step on that ice and see what it feels like. Learning for real is the same as having fun, being fascinated about what you are doing, enjoying it. Finally, learning for real is also about long-term achievement, like section hiking the Appalachian Trail over many decades. And then arriving at Mount Katahdin come your golden age. It is about making a difference and becoming better for it, adding to the greater whole. When we go to school and end up thinking, if I jump through these hoops, I will graduate and then I'll figure out the next step. The strong sequence, the integrated whole, becomes a wet noodle. The aim becomes a carrot and a stick. Things become unclear, but we keep going. It is okay to make this mistake, so as long as we learn from it, so as long as we learn and prevent others from being taken advantage of in the same way. Begin asking questions about education. Don't just sit there memorizing disconnected facts. Demand a real education. We all have computers now. We should all learn about programming, and it has to be meaningful knowledge. We need to know that a function takes an input, transforms it, often by calling other functions, and returns an output. Output equals function input. We need to know what a loop is, that it often processes a list of items one at a time, calling functions with the item as input. For example, for every user in a list, if membership expires soon on this user, then send warning message for this user. Programming is so simple that it only takes a few days to learn. You have to do it right. That is what schools were meant to help us with. For example, you never, ever, ever, ever start by just creating a file and then configuring things. No, you start with a boilerplate project. Only later, when you have time to waste, you go and read the manual or guide. I'm actually serious about this. The manual will never tell you what the most important parts are relative to your use case. If you just need a window with a blank canvas for a little 50-line wiki that helps you study, you don't need to worry about drop-down menus or icon sizes. You will return many times to the things that are useful for you, and with each use case, you will learn a new way of using the program that is far more than any documentation can explain. Another huge deal is the language you start with. I know many programming languages, but I don't use them all. Some are too old, but in most cases they just do things badly and are too small. The language you choose must be getting the most stress, most attention, most development, and hate. Because to hate a language is to admit to have learned the wrong one. Today, that language is ES 2021, JavaScript. It is the evolution of JavaScript, the language behind all the web applications that also runs on the server via Node.js. There are some strong side languages that are worth considering and venturing into, but just bookmark them and forget it. You need to learn a language that will help you create cute little command line programs, mighty web apps, quick and dirty web servers that never complain under real stress, and desktop applications, including powerful code editors. Above all, it all needs to be cross-platform, so that you never have to worry about rewriting your program for a different operating system, which is ridiculous. To learn something, we really need competent teachers who learned what they know not from textbooks, but from experience, real-life experience. If it is not possible to have good teachers, then it is more important to learn on your own first, and then go to school to get the diploma if you still need it. If the school isn't teaching, then you are not going to learn anything. You are only going to learn something that isn't even all that useful. In closing, I would like to share with you the most ridiculous and tiny little programming thing that I have ever learned. It is from a manual of a program unlikely to be taught in any school. The program is called CouchDB. It is just a little tidbit that jumped out at me, and I've been using it like clay in my own code experiments. When working on the web, not only do you have multiple people saving data at the same time, but also multiple instances of your program handling the traffic, usually one instance per CPU core. People normally use a database, a program that is far and away and is designed to handle multiple connections. But to me, that adds extra complexity. I once had a MySQL database go down for no reason at all. The server was offline, perfectly configured, perfectly indexed, with quality SQL statements, and there was nothing in the logs. At that point, I was doing simple data gathering for a large institution, and the reason I used a proper database is to avoid things getting broken like this without any explanation. In that moment, I promised myself to play with files a little bit more. I wanted to find a way to save a file under the stress of multiple users. Years later, reading up on CouchDB, the way they stored their records made me jump. It was both suspicious and lovely and delicious. I invented my own tiny theory about it, a demand that no matter what happens, information must always be stored on disk first, and as soon as it is possible. If you have many users trying to update some common piece of information, such as the profile of a school, the chances of one overwriting the other are pretty high. So, inspired by Couch, I create a directory named after the file that I want to save. And then, as people try to save that file, I store that information in a randomly named file inside that directory. The first and foremost is that all the data from all the users and processes is saved. It can never be lost. Every file that I save in that directory has a long random file name that is guaranteed to be unique and never overwrite anything. Even if Alice and Bob save Manhattan International High School profile at the same time, the server records their information in two different files, and no data can possibly be lost. The file names also contain version numbers. It is possible to track conflicts. The system can now flag when two people saved data at the same time. But more than that, the really cool part is that many servers storing files this way can synchronize together, as the files are always uniquely named. So thousands of servers can keep in sync, tracking all the changes, exchanging all the data, marking whenever there are edit conflicts. People saving data can see conflicts and resolve them as they make their updates. I don't want to write too much about the details of this program, but a conflict occurs when both Alice and Bob edit version 10 of the Manhattan International High School profile, hit save at the same time, and call it a day. That means that two versions 11 exist. No data is lost, but the person in charge of the school profile will see a red flag and may investigate and mark one of the files as deleted to remove the conflict. Another notable thing is that if nobody cares to resolve the conflict, there's this crazy way of deciding which version 11 is going to be used as the master version. You know how those files are randomly named? The conflicting files are sorted alphanumerically, and the first one becomes the master. It is an arbitrary election mechanism, but no matter the circumstance, CPU core, user, or server, or part of the world, it is an arbitrary but consistent election process that always returns the same winner, even if thousands and thousands of servers are synchronizing. This is called eventual consistency. What I describe here is just saving a file. I have a feeling that only practicing and learning on your own will make you sensitive, or maybe even passionate, about such little gems of invention. Even if this ever made it to a test, how is marking that correctly on a multiple choice exam, or even making a fake little homework program, going to emphasize this as special? And before any pro complaints about using this in production, this is a useful data backup mechanism that should be used alongside of a proper database. Learning for real is an adventure. You make fascinating discoveries in your travels. It is better to learn on your own and then go to school to graduate, if you still want to, rather than go to school and try to learn. Learning for real will also make you happy. I enjoy experimenting with different variations of the CouchDB-inspired file-saving mechanism. Visualizing data being saved without any abstraction, or if statements, or even errors, sure makes for a fun programming session. In school, we get stressed out about passing the exams, or trying to graduate and have the time to save money, and that is no way to learn. That is not how a student should be treated. A student represents the future of humanity. They should be treated with great dignity and respect. I think time has come to view schools that charge for education and companies that require a diploma as institutions that have little talent and will eventually either lose credibility or just go out of business. What does a company that demands a diploma say about its stability and your retirement plan? What does it say about the talent that you will encounter there? Will your coworkers be passionate about making cute little file-saving discoveries? Or is it all going to be about profit maximization, promotions, and hating Mondays? Once you retire, the real work starts. Now you enter an age where you are experienced enough to make lasting contributions to humankind. to leave an inspired and meaningful legacy. And at this stage in your life, having learned for real becomes even more important as you rely on it to become a great being.